Howdy.
Howdy.
You guys make me think of Charlotte's Web and the Pig. What a wonderful group. What a marvelous group. What a magnificent group. What an extraordinary group. I love that part. That's funny, though. That's how Jesus thinks, huh? It's true. We're kind of at the place where it's time to sort of turn the page to chapter 5 and the miracle of the man who was sick for 38 years. And you'd think I would save this little bit for next Sunday, but knowing me, I'll squeeze it in at some point. But it's sort of a little bit finishing touches of some things I shared last week and yesterday from a word the Lord gave me this morning. And really early this morning, he just said, people just need to step into their history. That sounds like a contradiction, because if you're stepping into something, you're thinking about stepping into your future. But your future will be determined by your being able to step into your history. Because when Jesus said it's finished, he meant that. And everything necessary for us to walk out Christ-likeness has already been accomplished. And the verse that Bracken read, there are two scriptures actually that I want to emphasize, that one and then this one that we've looked at before. And this is sort of, again, a little bit of a summary of where we've been so far in the Gospel of John. I got to spend some time the other day just sort of glancing through the whole Gospel of John again. And it was just sort of surprising to me to be reminded that the fact that there were only 4 healings recorded in the Gospel of John. Now, the Gospel of John is also the one towards the end where it says, if you tried to record all the miracles that Jesus performed, there'd be not enough books in the world to contain them. So there's an acknowledgement from John that all the things that Jesus did, and all, you know, which included lots of healings, that kind of stuff. But the Holy Spirit chooses to only record 4 of those. But there are other miracles in the Gospel of John, like Lazarus being raised from the dead. I mean, that was a healing, but like walking on water, feeding the 5,000, giving those words to the woman at the well, the miracle of the wedding in Cana, speaking the word of knowledge to Nathanael when he was sitting under the tree. And so there are actually more descriptions of sort of miraculous things that had nothing to do with healings, which is interesting to me. Because you see, 2/3 of the Gospel of John is all about the last week of Jesus' life. 95% of the Gospel of John is unique to the Gospel of John. So it serves this particular purpose. That's why most of the time, a particular purpose, a real specific one, most of the time when people will tell a new believer what they should read first in the Bible, they'll say, read the Gospel of John. But I think one of the reasons that there's not the listing of all the physical miracles, but you have the story like Jesus washing their feet, which is nowhere else, and, you know, sitting in weariness, yet being available even in his weariness to the woman at the well, and just his unconditional love for her, the concern for the people wedding in Cana that seemed to be an insignificant issue, yet the God of the universe stepped in to save them embarrassment, humiliation. Just all these things that are cool that are there, as if the Lord's saying to us, the miraculous Christian life, and make no mistake about it, not sinning is a miracle. And the miraculous Christian life, when I say that about not sinning, I don't just mean not getting angry or not wanting to steal or not lying or not giving immorality, but what about not being afraid, not living in disappointment? You know, not murmuring and complaining, not, you with me? And those are sins too. If it's not something Jesus does, then it's sin. He's the standard. And so I think the Gospel of John is an encouragement to me about the whole breadth of the whole Christian life. And for us as charismatics, we often so focus on the signs and wonders, which we usually put in the category of healings, that we forget the whole Christian life, that Jesus, all those things were miraculous stuff that Jesus did. The fact that Jesus exercised patience and walked all that out. And, you know, I think about, again, what Thessalonians says, showing patience to all men. I thought, wow, That's a miracle, right? I mean, and there are just some people that we say often, and we'll excuse it as if it's okay, it's normal. Like, well, that's just a hard person to be patient with. I'm like going, well, evidently it's impossible for you, but it's not for Jesus. And so sort of the gospel is laid out in such profound ways. And those that verse Bracken read, and this one again, if you remember this one from chapter 2, verse 23. Now, when Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name, and it references the fact beholding his signs, which he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, was not entrusting himself to them, for he knew all men. And because he did not need anyone to bear witness concerning man, for he himself knew what was in man. How did Jesus know himself what was in man? Was it because he's God, he can see everything? No, it's made really clear, it's because he became man. The miracle of the incarnation is that God became a human. But God didn't just become sort of his own generalized special version of a human. He became humanity. And so he was clothed in Bill's humanity and Ming's humanity and Bob's humanity and my humanity, Ron's humanity. He was clothed in your humanity. And he knew what was in man. Jesus was tempted in every way like unto us. And so it says that he didn't entrust himself to them because he knew that we weren't capable of digging ourselves out of the ditch of our fallenness, our separation from God, and our broken lives. We couldn't dig ourselves out of the ditch of being controlled by the reign of sin. We had to entrust ourselves to him. That's one of the most powerful places in all the scripture about the gospel. He knew it was in man. Therefore, God came because only God could dig us out of that ditch. We couldn't do anything. We couldn't help. All we can do is believe or not believe. And so when we think of that, and then use that verse that Bracken read, it's been fascinating me for a while now, but even more so recently. There was a true light which coming into the world enlightens every man. And what we said, sort of our progressive understanding of the scripture, was that Jesus' life he lived as a victorious human enlightens all humanity. That victorious humanity is something that you and I can experience. We really can walk free from impatience and anger, and complaining, and discouragement, and disappointment, and fear, and lust, and greed, and pride, and envy, jealousy. We really can walk free from all that, insecurity and all that stuff. And Jesus, as man, enlightened every human that it doesn't have to be the way it's been. His very life was hope. He wasn't just an example for us. He was an example of us, walking out normal, free freedom. From God's perspective, walking in righteousness. And again, it wasn't just that he did that in general. He was clothed in your humanity and my humanity. And so what we said yesterday was that this gospel, you know, Jesus came to reveal the truth about the Father, but he also came to reveal the truth about man. Because the truth about man is that we were created to tell the truth, reveal the truth about God. And the truth about man is that we weren't created to be controlled by the reign of sin, by all that stuff. And that the life that Jesus lived in his vicarious humanity, he lived victoriously, as a vicarious person, he lived victoriously in your place and on your behalf, showing you, not just showing us what humanity's like, he was revealing the truth about Mark Finley. When Jesus healed people, he was clothed in Mark Finley's humanity and was saying, see, Mark Finley can steward this life. I've clothed myself in Anna Reynolds. And Anna Reynolds can, even when she's weary and tired, sitting by the well, and somebody now comes into her life, doesn't have to gripe and grump because she's too tired. She's free to live, to walk in love because I can do that through her humanity. I've already proven I just did it. That's such an encouragement to me that if you're waiting for breakthrough, if you're saying like, we've said this before, but again, emphasize, and there's one point I want to get, all this is to get one point in just a minute. like, yeah, I understand, but I just can't get there. That's just not who I am. Well, Jesus has already modeled who you are. And then he created that person permanently in his resurrection. Crucified the old that can't, buried that one that can't, and raised up the new that can in union with him. I love what Ian Thomas used to say, you can't on your own. And he never said you could, but he can. And he always said he would. And he's clothed himself in you. And he clothed himself in you when he did this. And so when you read the Gospels, it's not just a story of humanity, Jesus, God becoming man. It's your story. That's your story. He's clothed in your fallen flesh, and yet tempted in every way. He didn't sin. And so when we talk about breakthrough, and so I speak to you as a bug-eyed, committed, wild-eyed, full-throated charismatic. And charismatics want breakthrough so bad. And we jump through so many hoops to try to get there. But you see, God didn't, he made it really clear in that passage from chapter 2. He doesn't trust man with all this. He accomplished everything for us. When he said perfect at the cross, he meant perfect. He had done it all. He didn't say, okay, now you're in me and I'm in you. Now work out your breakthroughs. Do what you can. Position yourself. Posture yourself. Do all these kind of things. Pray enough, fast enough, whatever. See, what I've discovered is only when you step into your history, and your breakthrough is a history. You already have a history of the breakthrough. When you step into your history, you begin to pray more and fast more, because Jesus wasn't praying more and fasting more to get more breakthrough. He was praying like crazy, all night prayer. He was the breakthrough. But we treat it like we're trying to do this to get something. So what are you going to do once you get it? Retire from all that? No, it's the result of something having gotten you. You just want to talk to God more. You want to learn more. And so when the Lord said to me this morning, he said, I just want people to step into their history. He was saying, people are trying so hard to break through. When the incarnation and the incarnational life that Jesus lived that we're emphasizing in this season of the incarnation is that was your life. He was already modeling to you the breakthrough that he was accomplishing for you. In the life that he lived, the death that he died, and his resurrection, that he lived that life dressed as you, clothed in your humanity. You've already done all that stuff. You have a history of it. You have a history of walking in freedom from sin. You have a history of living a life of signs and wonders. Whether it's the signs and wonders of healing people, or the signs and wonder of giving people prophetic words, or the sign and wonder of being when you're really weary, not using that as an excuse to be a grump and a grouch and be selfish. To going out of your way when you probably had other things to do. Like we said yesterday, when he did the wedding at Canaan, that was off schedule. Changed his to-do list without getting upset about it. How many times we all get messed up, angry, frustrated when somebody's changed our schedule? That's one of the reasons you and I have to come to a place where we figure out that we don't have time to be in a hurry. We don't miss God. But Jesus, that was your humanity. You have a history of doing these things. Don't say, I just can't get there. You've been there. Jesus modeled that. He's enlightened every man. You're one of the every persons. And in the resurrection, he created that person permanently. And so a breakthrough for us as believers, we make it so complicated. And I understand, I appreciate that. God honors faith and people walk out stuff. But I'm just saying, it's not so hard. Jesus is modeling the fact that you already broke through. And the new creation is a person who's broke through, who has a history of living this life. And all you and I have to do is just step into our history, and it'll change your future. Oh, like I'm not trying to step into something, a future? Well, what if I don't? No, it's a history. It's already been accomplished. Step into your history. That'll change your future. That makes sense. That's good news. Jesus took it out of our hands. Our part's always to believe. Just step in to what Jesus has already done. He didn't trust himself to us because he knew we'd screw it up every time. You'll screw up the breakthrough thing. You'll make it so hard. okay. Well, that's his story, I think, and I'm sticking to it. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.